Live from Knoxville, Tennessee, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a really exciting guest. We are streaming via YouTube. If you'd like to ask any questions to me and my guests, please put those into the comment box. We'll make sure to get to them, as well as you can always contact me before any show, zach@zachballinger.com. You're welcome to answer those right into the email. We will ask our guests that today. Marty, thank you so much for joining the show today. We really appreciate it.
Man, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Marty, I want to start off, what is your exact career? What do you do for a living?
Anything that involves entertainment. I sing, songwrite, make videos, make content, do a little acting. I have a podcast myself called The Marty Ray Project Chats. I'm actually writing an article now for a little small publication locally. Anything that has to do with entertainment, I kind of do it.
That's awesome. Thank you for coming on and talking about entertainment. And so let's focus in on some of your career as a singer and maybe a songwriter and things like that. What inspired you to do this kind of work? What got you into this?
Well, I just came out of the womb singing. God put me here to sing and write songs, and some people like them. That's kind of what I say, because I never really learned how to do it. Never learned how to sing or songwrite. I just could always sing, and I still don't know if I do it right, but a lot of people seem to enjoy it. So I just keep on singing. As long as you put ears on my voice, I'm going to keep on singing.
I listened to some of your YouTube videos. Trust me, you can sing. Just wanted to ask you, what kind of music do you sing? Like, let's say the audience is out there listening and they're wondering what kind of music you play or sing. What is your specialty?
That's a problem. That's why the record labels don't have me, because I won't let anybody tell me that I can only sing one thing or another. So same with writing. I sing and write whatever's on my heart, and I go and cut it when I write it, and I release it. And whatever a song is, it could be a pop song, it could be a country song, it could be a rock song, and I'm going to do it, but I always try to do it my way. That's just the way it comes out, but I'm not pigeonholed. I'm not in a box. So I'm whatever genre I feel on my heart, I sing from the heart. So a lot of people, they think I'm country just because the way I look. I'm a cornbread fed looking fat bearded bald man. And they go, well, that must be country music. So no matter what I sing, no matter how I sing, that a lot of people think I'm country no matter what, and that's fine. As long as they enjoy it.
What do you love about your job? Talk to me about what drives you.
Well, I love the fact that growing up, there was many people that told me I couldn't sing. And then also there were people that said I could sing, but being in music and doing things in entertainment was a pipe dream. I love the fact that God said, if you put forth the effort, I'll honor it. And he gave me the talent, and I put forth the effort, and he keeps honoring it, and I'm able to make a living doing that. And there's nothing better than doing something that you actually love to do, that you enjoy, that never gets old. Even though I will say that no matter what you do, I think there's times when it gets kind of routine. On, like, especially if you're YouTube, posting YouTube videos, that becomes a routine and can kind of get a little, not boring, but a little inundating sometimes when you're by yourself. Make sure you have a video every week and that type of thing. But other than that, I mean, it's even that, it's all fun. And I think what I love the most is the fact that I get to do it, man, that I'm doing what I feel like I'm doing exactly what God put me here to do.
And how long have you been doing this particular career?
I'm horrible with timelines, but I believe I've been doing it professionally for about 11 years, maybe something like that. I can't really remember an exact date, but I think that's about what it was.
And what, you know, a lot of my students or the entry-level people out there, they've submitted this question, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask you it now. What made you believe that you could do this? Because, you know, when we tell our parents, well, I'm going to be a singer, well, I'm going to be an actor, well, I'm going to be a performer, or I'm going to be a dancer, the common theme is, you know, they want you to go the college route and things like that. How did you have any pushback, number one, from anybody around you? And then how did you do it on your own?
I had nothing but pushback. My father is a hardworking man, and he's probably the hardest working man I've ever known. And he owned his own business, and he didn't believe that. He still has trouble believing that this is a viable career. But he always thought that this right here was how you made your living, and it was either by this or nothing. That you had to. You better get out there and get to work as far as this, not this. You can't make money with this, only this, in his eyes. So, which I'm, for people that are listening, I'm holding up my hand and tapping on my head because I forget sometimes that everything's not video. But my father thought that you had to use your hands to make a living. And he didn't believe that using your mind as far as just your mind, he's a very smart man, but using just your mind was going to make you any money. So, I definitely had pushback in that. He never said, oh, you can't sing. He always thought I could sing, but he never really cared either. You know, he's never been a music guy. My mother was big into music. She sang in the church, and a bunch of other people did. A bunch of other people in my family did the same. And I always wanted to kind of be like them and sing in the church and maybe travel around doing that with a couple of those people. Not my mother, but a couple of those people said I could. They're the ones that said, you know, I couldn't sing and I should look into playing an instrument if I wanted to get into music. So there was a long time there that I kind of believed that I might be one of those people that thought they could sing. They heard themselves singing and they thought they could sing, but they really couldn't. But it wasn't until, I believe it was around 2005, I got an Apple MacBook. And they had GarageBand on there. And because GarageBand was on there, I saw this app on there and I started playing around with it. Found out I could record myself. And when I found out I could record myself, I started hearing my own voice, but I was still mimicking people. I grew up mimicking other artists. And I knew that even if I was perfectly mimicking them, there was no money to be made. Nobody needed another. And nobody needed somebody that could sound exactly like another artist. So I never really thought, with all the things against me, what was told to me, I never thought that I could ever, growing up, I didn't think I could ever do music professionally as a living. Or even in the church, for that matter. Didn't really think I would ever do anything with it. But after I got that, my cousin, he had been recording for a while. And I said, let's go to the church and do some recording. I want to mess around with this garage band. So we go, and that day, that night, we're there. We're the only ones there at the church. And we used the pastor's office as a vocal booth and put the microphone in there. And he said, what song you want to do? I said, just pick a song. Whatever song you pick, I'm going to follow you. And he picked Great Speckled Bird, and I had never heard anybody sing it. So I had no reference to go by. So I just followed him. And that was the first time that God let me hear my actual real voice, my own voice. And from that day forward, I made a video, I put it online. I said, this sounds different. This feels special to me. And from that day forward, I made a video of that song, put it on my Facebook. And a lot of people they just fell in love with it. It got about, I don't know, 20,000 views. And that felt like an incredible accomplishment at the time. Just 20,000 views for somebody that had no fans. Nobody had never even let people on Facebook or anywhere else know that I even sang. So when that happened, I thought maybe if people were calling my dad's shop where I worked and they were saying, when are you going to do it, release an album and stuff like that. And I was like, man, God, I'm going to go after this thing. And if you want me to do it, you honor it. You bring fruit to it. And that's kind of where we're still at to this day. If he wants me to do it, he'll bring fruit, and I'll keep on doing it.
Such an amazing story, how you've been able to follow your passion and your dream of doing a job that you really love. And, you know, you become, you talk about the 20,000 just starting right now. I've listened to some of your music on YouTube. You've got videos well into the millions of views on YouTube. And so people have really gravitated towards your music and your style of singing. I'll admit firsthand, one of my favorite songs is Waymaker. And I heard you sing that, and I've listened to it several times. I thought you did a great job of doing that. Now, do you go around traveling still and performing at places, or are you mainly doing video content, or how do you spread your music?
Well, I've never really been a guy who tours or anything like that. It's always been online or private shows. I do public shows every now and then, that I would do more if it wasn't so stressful. It's a stressful thing to do public shows, because even before COVID, because with a public show, you got to worry about selling tickets. So I don't like having to worry about that. I would rather them pay me to come do a private gig, and then whoever they bring. I don't care if it's 4 or 4,000. It's up to them. And I've done events on both spectrums. I've played many events, and that's kind of what I like to do. I know I got a lot of fans that want to see me live, and I'm trying to start. We got a show in Tampa, actually, in March, on March 11th, coming up, that's public, that I'm trying to sell tickets for. And I have no clue what my fan base is there, because the problem is the fortunate, unfortunate problem is that, I don't know if it's a problem or not, but it's hard to describe it as a problem. But nonetheless, my fans are so spread out all the way across the world. So they're not in one centralized location. So I don't know exactly how many of them I have here, there, whatever. So I don't know how many. If I did, then I'd love to do public shows more often. If I had every single fan that I have, I got right around 1.3 million across all platforms. If every one of those people were in one state, then I would probably move to that state and just do shows in that state. I'd be fine with that, and just serve all those fans that are there.
Well, you certainly game one here. I've definitely been loving your work. Now, let's take you back in a time machine. We're going to go back to your childhood when you were in second, third, fourth, fifth grade. Can you remember a career that you always dreamed about doing when you were a kid?
Yeah. The thing that I, believe it or not, the thing that I always wanted to do was have my own talk show, like Howard Stern. And so that's when I fell in love with podcasting, because I was actually podcasting way before music, way before I ever started getting into music. It wasn't before Speckled Bird, that song, but before it was ever a professional type thing, I was podcasting. I had a show called Memnash Radio, and I called it Memnash Radio because no one respected podcasts at the time. It was back in like 2007. No one respected podcasting. They didn't even know what it was. And if you tried to get guests on, they were like, a pod what? And I had to explain. So I stopped. So I called it Memnash Radio so they would think it was a radio show. And it worked. I got a lot of guests. I got Darius Rucker on once, which is pretty incredible, because I had no pull at all back then. Absolutely none. But that show lasted for about a year and a half, I think. And because the co-host kept quitting, I always wanted to have a co-host, because I think that's fun to hear people banter back and forth and to have somebody to take the load as you're trying to come. Maybe I'm trying to get to my next question and find a place. They could be asking a question to the guest while I'm doing that or whatever, but they kept quitting. So eventually, and then my music started hitting. Then I made a video called All About That Beard, which is a parody of All About That Bass, and made that video just trying to figure out how to make a professional style video. And it was not a professional style video, but I was experimenting and it looks like crap, but it got 2 million views in a day on Facebook. And at that point I was like, well, I don't have time now to, I was doing interviews in England. I was doing interviews all over the world, Australia, just from that one video. That was the first thing that ever really hit musically. And then because of that, and because of the co-host that they kept quitting, I said, well, I'll just focus on music then. You know, if y'all don't want to go on this ride, then that's your choice. I was trying to, because my goal is not to make it as myself. I always say the only reason I'm where I'm at now is because of God and my fans. So, they'll all end because of them too. So it'll end because of them and it'll continue because of them. That's the only way that it works for anybody really. But I'm just one that really understands that I can really do nothing besides sing and make videos. If I make a video, it's up to the fans and up to God to bring the fruit to that video or that album or that song or whatever it is. They have to do it. I can't do it alone.
It's such an amazing story that if you think about it from your childhood, you're actually doing what you kind of dreamed about being when you were a kid. And a lot of times, I know, Marty, sometimes we look back and there might be a consultant or real estate, but at the heart of that, there might be something that overlaps and intersects with our passion. And your story leads us right into that moment. Now, for people that want to follow you on YouTube, because we've talked about a lot how you're on there every week, you've actually got millions of followers, you've all these watch hours that you've gotten on your videos. How can people find your work?
Well, the best way to find everything in one fell swoop would be MartyRayProject.com. And then also you can join the mailing list there and buy merch there if you're into that type of thing. But if you join the mailing list, then you're able to bypass the algorithms that is the greatest enemy of an independent artist. Algorithm is, of all these corporate algorithms, it's a nightmare trying to navigate. Some videos don't even get shown to people. Some do, and it's just weird. But if you're on that mailing list on my website, then you will get a link to every video that's posted and to concerts and things like that. But anywhere you're on social media, I'm there at Marty Ray Project, everywhere. Everywhere there's an ear and an eye, Marty Ray Project's there.
And guys, I'd encourage you too to follow his YouTube channel. You can subscribe to it. It's free. I know subscribing sometimes gets a negative connotation because they think that you have to pay for it. But actually subscribing just simply means you're supporting your local artist. Like I have you guys subscribe to my YouTube channel. Same thing, you subscribe and you can actually hit notification on it. It's a little, looks like a bell. And so when Marty posts a music video, a new one, you'll actually get alerted on that app and you can hear his music. And Marty's interested because no matter what music genre that you like, he kind of plays it. He plays a little bit of everything. Like I said, I'm more into I like the praise and worship style music that he brings. And it's a great opportunity to follow him on that show. Marty, let's get to some of these questions that can come in from people out there listening. Somebody writes in and says, what musical instruments can you play?
Well, fluently, masterfully, none, you know, but I can play guitar, of course, as people see. I can play guitar. I play a little bit of mandolin. I can play a little bit of piano. I can play a little bit of drum. I'm a little bit of a lot of things. You know what I mean? Kind of like that. I kind of told myself if it was a stringed instrument, I wanted to at least learn to play the G, C, D, and E minor so that I could play a lot of songs if I could learn to move my fingers fast enough. So I know a lot of the string instruments. I can't play banjo at all. I can play mandolin, ukulele. I play ukulele. But that's about it. I can play the tambourine, and I can clap.
And the next question that comes in, it says, I want to be a singer when I grow up. Would you recommend trying out on American Idol or The Voice? And have you done that yourself?
You know, me personally, any way you want to try to, that you can try to make it, quote, make it, I can't tell you not to do that, but they definitely reached out to me back. I tell you the problem with American Idol and The Voice and stuff like that, and used to be X Factor, they used to be one too, is when I was, when my stuff was, you know, climbing and blowing up, and they used to reach out to me all the time, these shows, and they'd say, we want you to come in for a private audition. And I would say, a private audition, like, you got all these people waiting in a cattle call outside of these buildings all over the nation, and you're calling people, I mean, you're emailing people to come do a private audition. So it's almost like I'm taking the spot of one of these people that's waiting. I'm jumping the line just because I have a train going, and now you want to jump on my train. These people need a train. You need to get, start their train with them. And they called me all the time, and I never turned them down, but I did always say that. And then I said, if you take the contract, back then it was a 7-year contract, and you had to sign this 7-year contract just to go on TV. Now, this didn't go into effect unless they chose for it to. So if you, they said, it really only goes into, we really only activate the contract if you get 1 through 4, sometimes 5, unless something, then they say, unless something else happens. So at any moment, if you go on that show at that time, I don't know what it's like now, but at any moment, if you're on that show and you blow up and then you're the talk of everything, even if you don't make it to number one, maybe you, because my original plan was, I was thinking, well, if that's in the contract where you have to win 1 through 3 or 4, then I'll get to as far as I can. And if I get to 4, I'll just act like I'm sick and then I can't sing anymore. And then I'll get the attention without having to sign the deal. Because you have to sign it regardless, and it's up to them to. So me personally, I don't want a record deal. I don't want them to own me, because what, 7 years, that's any artist, any singer or any songwriter or anything like that. You're lucky if you get the first year. And after the first year, if you get 3, you're doing really well. If you get 5, you're a legend. If you get 5 good years in music, if you get 7, you're a Hall of Famer at that point. So they know, I don't know if it's still that way, but they knew, we're going to get the best years out of this person and then be done with them. Cause then we're going to chew them up and spit them out. That's kind of what those shows are about. They're really shady. And I hate those shows. I hate all of them, but a lot of people have done some good things from them. But if you'll notice, a lot of the people that win, you don't really hear about them that much. After they win, they do little tours here and there off of that win, but they never really reach a pinnacle like a very few of them do, like Carrie Underwood, Kelly Clarkson, a few of those people that are like on top of the world, but not all of them, nowhere near all of them reach that. So me personally, if you ask somebody, ask me, I would say, no, start making videos and just being consistent and be on every platform that there's somebody listening. And love on those fans that love on you right now and forever. Just love on them. Just comment back to them. Let them know you love them, and just serve the people. But I'm not telling anybody they can't go on those shows or they shouldn't. That's just my opinion.
I think that's great advice, because you basically started out from, like you said, recording a grainy audio video. Like you said, it wasn't that great when you first started. I think, Marty, a lot of times people's fear of having everything perfect, they put off an excuse to do something. And so that's what I keep trying to tell people. Put something out there. Put yourself out there. It's okay to make mistakes at first. It's okay not to have something 100%. When I started my show, I didn't have the best background. I didn't have the best microphone. I didn't have the best talking points. But you grow over time, and you never know how your content helps people. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And so, like you said, if you want to be a singer, start out. Everybody has a YouTube platform that they can start, but not everybody has access to American Idol, or not everybody will be on that, get that opportunity. So I love that advice. I think the next question ties into this a little bit. It says, what is the difference between a singer and an independent singer?
Well, all that means is you're not signed with a record label. That's all that means. You're independent means you're independent. Sometimes there are people that are signed with independent labels, and that's different too. But I'm independent in the truest sense of the word. I'm completely solo. I wish I wasn't sometimes, but I am. I need a team. I do need a team, but I need them to be an independent team with me. There, where it's all, we all have the same vision, and we all have the same goals. But I don't want it to be a label. I have a label offer in my mailbox, in my email right now, that I could activate if I wanted to. I don't want to. I don't want to do it. I don't want them to tell me what to do. I don't want them to make me bend my morals to try to tell me, hey, don't. Because like labels, a lot of labels, they don't like you talk about Jesus. And I'm going to keep talking about Jesus because he's my God. And, you know, that's the thing is I'm not going to not be myself because I'm signed with a record label. I'm not going to let somebody take my morals. And I would encourage anyone vehemently to hold on to what you believe, because don't let anybody change your beliefs just for some money, just for some success. That's not worth it. It is not worth it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And one more time, people can follow you. Can you give us your website one more time for the audience out there for us?
MartyRayProject.com. And the podcast that we do is the Marty Ray Project Chats. So you can find us every week, every Wednesday.
And what's your podcast about? Topics or themes that you guys have?
Well, it's essentially just two entertainers interviewing other entertainers about entertainment, usually. But it don't have to be entertainers, but sometimes it's interesting people. We got some crazy people coming up. We just had Bert Kreischer on. And
funny guy.
He's real funny. That show's real funny. But, it's just basically whoever we can get on that we find interesting, we just chat with them and ask them some questions they might not get on other podcasts.
Awesome. Well, Marty, thank you so much for joining the show. We know you're busy. You have a very busy schedule. We really appreciate your time giving back to my audience. This has been great. We really inspire people to follow their dreams and follow a career that they love, as well as believing in their own beliefs and their moral compass and their system of their values. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Zach. You're awesome.
You have a great night. Take care.
You too, brother.